Hello, I'm Joey Haskins, and welcome back to You've Never Seen, in which I showcase a movie you've probably never seen before. It is said by many that one of the greatest movies of all time is 12 Angry Men. It's a legal drama based on a play by Reginald Rose, directed by Stanley Lumet, and starring an eclectic cast, which includes Ed Begley, Robert Weber, E.G. Marshall, Jack Warden, Edward Binns, John Fiedler, Jack Klugman, Martin Balsam, George Foscovec, Joseph Sweeney, Lee Cobb, and Henry Fonda. The film was nominated for 3 Oscars and has been parodied and adapted many times since, but as far as movies go, there's only ever been 1 remake. And while a remake of this film is kinda pointless, a newer version could supply some differing points of view if it were to take place in the modern day. So in 1997, for a TV movie adaptation, Reginald Rose revised the original script for a modern audience, and along with director William Friedkin, yes, as in The Exorcist William Friedkin, made a new adaptation of 12 Angry Men. This new adaptation also has an all-star cast, which includes Courtney B. Vance, Ozzie Davis, George C. Scott, Armin Mueller-Stahl, Dorian Harewood, James Gandolfini, Tony Danza, Hume Cronin, McKelty Williamson, Edward James Olmos, William Peterson, and Jack Lemmon as juror number 8. Much like the original, production of the film only took a few weeks, only 10 days of rehearsal and 10 days of filming to be exact. And yes, it is good, but again, not as good as the original. 12 Angry Men is one of those films where you can remake it or create a new adaptation, but there isn't really a point to making it when there's a film just like it that's already beloved. But this version of the film is longer than the original as it adds a few new scenes so that it's not an exact remake. After all, Reginald Rose did improve the script for the first time in over 40 years, and he brought in a bunch of new stuff, including diversifying the cast that originally included 12 white guys. There's also newer scenes involving the jurors talking to one another. Sort of like a break between 3 acts in a film or a play, for everyone to collect their thoughts and stop acting for a bit. It also helps us ground them a bit more, as we need to find out that these jurors are human after all. Which in many respects is a general idea of the point juror number 8 tries to make throughout the movie. And if anyone is perfect for the kind-looking and determined juror number 8, it is Jack Lemmon. Although he is over 70 here, he still brings a nice performance in the face of such a big role. The same can also be said for George C. Scott, who plays juror number 3. He was 70 here too, but had still plays the role with the same passion that's displayed in the role Lee Cobb made famous. There are some stark differences in age between certain characters, but in the end it still works. And I guess that makes all the roles in the film expendable enough for any actor to jump into. And usually when acting like that is really good, it can distract you from how the movie is made. In the original film, it starts off being filmed with a wide-angle lens to show greater depth, but by the end of the film, the lens shows all of the men incredibly close to each other. It makes the stakes much more dire and the audience feel claustrophobic. I can't say that there's that level of care in this film, and there's no notes on the film to really prove it, but I believe William Friedkin probably did something similar because there are some shots that show them close together by the end of the film. But something that I did notice is that there are a lot of long takes in the film. Not only is that impressive for the actors to have to memorize everything in one take, but it's even more impressive when the film goes on. At the beginning, the shots are all straight, level, and are all done as if they're planned or on tripods, but by the end of the film, a lot of the shots seem more sloppy, shaky, and feel like they're handheld, mirroring the intensity on the screen. And much like the original, the film does get intense, but as I stated before, it's just not on the same level. Sure, it's very good, but if you watch both films, I'm almost certain that you'd say the original is the better one. Still, it's a pretty impressive production for a film meant for television, and I'm not the only one who noticed. The film did receive some acclaim when it came out. It was nominated for 5 Emmys, winning 2, and 3 Golden Globes, winning 1. Or technically 2. Because the same year Jack Lemmon was nominated for the film, Ving Rhames had won the Golden Globe, but was generous enough to give his award to Lemmon because, in the arts, it's all about giving, as he says. This move, and Lemmon accepting the award, caused a standing ovation for the 72-year-old, and a ton of praise from Rhames. Lemmon even mentioned it was one of the nicest things that's ever happened to him. This movie isn't available in a lot of places. A DVD and Blu-ray are available to buy on Amazon. You can watch the film for free on the service Tubi, or you could check it out at your local library. With Weston Media Center, I'm Joey Haskins, and I'll see you all next time.